Well, let's open our Bibles this morning, and let's turn to John. We open our lessons with John 3:16, and we're going to read this together. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith is cumulative. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The more you feed on it, the more you grow in it, it's cumulative. You just don't get, you know, you didn't go from a child to a grown-up, boop! It was cumulative. You grew in degrees. So does your faith. That makes sense?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So let's read together John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we've been talking about speaking to your mountain. And one of the things that is clear, as we were saying, that you're going to face a mountain at some point in this life. And again, what do we do? Some of us face mountains, and for all of us, you know, I've faced a few. You know, Pastor Sarah has always said, you know, depending on your age, you know, you're going to face a mountain sometime in your life. And how you handle that really can determine how you face the rest of the mountains in your life. Do you give in? Do you give up? And what are you going to do? So let's turn over. Let's start in Mark 11:23. I think in 22 and 23. We've been using this particular scripture as a foundation, as a place to see what the Word of God has to say about facing a mountain, because it talks about it. And one thing you can be sure, you know, looking at scripture, when it doesn't say a specific mountain, it's just talking about, well, it's not talking about a specific mountain here. So we can go to Mark 11:22, and let's read here. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And of course, we can see from other translations, it's talking about either having the faith of God, or having the God kind of faith, or having faith in God. One translation says having faith in His faithfulness. I'll tell you, that's one thing that it's clear. When you have faith in God, you're having faith in His faithfulness, because He's faithful. The God that promised is faithful. And what Hebrews say? So He's faithful. He promised. He's faithful. And when you have faith in God, I think I've shared it before, that in order to have faith in God, where does faith come from? Knowing the will of God. So sometimes we read right over that and we say, yeah, I've got faith. What did He promise? I don't know, but I got it. How do you know? You got to know what His will is to have faith in God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you got to know what's in the Word of God to have the God kind of faith. Now we, in Romans says, we've all been given a measure of faith, or the God kind of faith, but you got that measure of the God kind of faith because you heard about Jesus. And at some point in your life, if you are a Christian, you said, I believe. And you confessed Him as your Lord and your Savior. That's how that God kind of faith came. That you heard, you believed, and you said. Right? You spoke. You confessed what you believed. And so the God kind of faith is what he's talking about here. And so you can see following, you can see here, what does it start to talk about? Jesus says here, have the God kind of faith. And then in verse 22 and verse 23, he starts to talk about what the God kind of faith is, doesn't he? He begins to explain to us what that is. And he says here that whosoever, who was a whosoever in here? I'm a whosoever. That means anybody. Whosoever shall what? Say unto this what? Mountain. So that means an obstacle in your life. So one key thing you're going to remember is that when you face a mountain, you never face your mountain with your mouth closed. You never face a mountain with your mouth closed. You know, some of us look at that and go, ooh. Well, we need to have something coming out of our mouth saying. That's what Jesus said here. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, say what? Be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea. Yeah, but it's too big. He didn't say that, only say to the small mountains. But the big ones, you just kind of let them stare at you and wink at you. No, he didn't say that. He didn't differentiate between the size of the mountain. He just said, if a mountain is in your way, you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And then what else does he say? And shall not doubt in your heart. See, a lot of folks will say, but there's doubt. You know, there's this obstacle at home. I'm going to speak it, but I'm still looking at the circumstance, and I don't know. I really don't know if that's going to change or not. What did we say mountains could be? Make a plain. It could be a financial mountain you're facing in your life. It could be a marital mountain. You know, sometimes that's upfront and personal, isn't it? It's real personal. You know, somebody said something and hurt me. Somebody did something to me. So it's now personal, and that's a mountain. Right. Or it could be a job. Could be your children. Could be anything that you're facing, but what does it say? We're supposed to say something. Be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea. Now that doesn't say, oh good, I can remove my husband or wife. Be thou removed. And be thou cast out of here. No, it didn't say that. It didn't say that. No, some of you said, yeah, good, I like that. No, it said the obstacle. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things shall come to pass. Oh, okay. So that means, it doesn't mean cast out of your life this obstacle. It may mean saying something. If you believe in your heart that this is your job and it doesn't seem like it, what do you say? That's my job. I call that my job, even when it doesn't look like it. Now, if God has prompted you, he's leading you, but the circumstances, situations say, you'll never get that job. And it looks impossible. It looks impossible to get into this college because I don't have the money. That's a mountain. And they're only taking so many. But I really want to go there. And God has put it in my heart to go there. See, there's people that work that principle and get what they want. They do it all the time. They say what they want. And they don't let go. People who failed in business, they may fail one place, but they're saying, I'm going to do this. and I'm going to get this, and I'm going to be this, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do this. And they may fail five times, but they're going to have it. They're going to keep working at getting what they say. People do it all the time. Sinners do it. They're working the principle. We give up first rejection. Yeah, it must not have been God's will. No, you gave up. That's what happened. And so sometimes we give up and don't move the mountains. We don't keep saying what's in our heart. So it could be an obstacle in your marriage. Could be something going on. Somebody acting a certain way. Something happened. What do you say about that? What are you saying? What are you saying about your children? See, so often, you know, if some of these things I had known when I was young, I wouldn't have done some of the dumb stuff that I did. And that just tells me God is merciful. And God loves me, just like He loves you and has been merciful to you. We've all done dumb stuff. I shouldn't even be alive. 10 times. I think about some of the stuff I did. There's no way on this green earth I should even be alive. Racing cars on the street, going high levels of speed. I mean high speed. I don't mean at 50, I mean 150. On the street. Shouldn't be alive. Should be dead. God's merciful. Things that we've done, things that we've said, things that we, you know, you hear how God has extended His mercy to people who have killed people, hurt people, in gangs, murdered people, and God is merciful. He loves us. And He doesn't differentiate between one kind of thing or another. He is merciful. And He loves us. And if we apply these principles and we begin to say and to speak, we'll live like that song says. We'll live in the overflow. We'll live in the blessings of God. But we got to stick with it. We got to say it and keep saying it and keep saying it. Even when everybody's saying, you'll never get it. You'll never have it. Ain't no way. You're not getting it. That's all right. I got the Word of God. I've got a principle here that I'm applying. I've got the Word of God that's forever settled in heaven. I've got a God that loves me. I've got a God that cares for me. I've got a God that says, my God shall supply all my need. I'm going to have that. There's no government. There's no prison. There's, as they say, nothing that can keep from you what God has promised. If you've got the guts and the stick-to-itiveness to keep saying, say to that mountain. So, where were we? So, it says here, don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things which He saith shall come to pass, He shall have. Whatsoever you what believeth? What you say. But what you say is what you're going to believe. See, this is what we were sharing in the other lesson, that there's elements of faith. There's believing, but then there's saying. You can't just say, see, some folks say, well, they're going to have what they say. Not everything you say is going to come to pass. You realize that? People are doing that in the world. They're saying a bunch of stuff. Goliath said a bunch of stuff. He did. He did. But David spoke and believed. Believed who? Believed in his God. And what he said is what he believed. And he killed him and brought him down. See, so just because you say things doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. You've got to believe it You've got to believe that the things that you say will come to pass. Then you'll have it. And you begin to say some things in your life. See, sometimes, I know I was at a homegoing service recently, and it was so strong in me and on me that there were people there struggling with the death of this loved one. And it was such, I was hard to even speak. There was such compassion that it rose up, it lifted after the service was over. It just lifted. But God cares about what you care about. If you're hurting, He feels that. And He'll put it on the hearts of people to minister to you when you're hurting and you're struggling over something. He'll put it on somebody's heart. Doesn't have to be a pastor or a fivefold ministry gift. It could be your neighbor. It could be somebody that says, hey man, I got something that, you know, you just compassion about something. And you reach out and touch somebody. See, that's what the church, see, this has been something that's been in my heart. And Pastor Greg and I were talking about this coming home yesterday. You need to ask some questions. And this doesn't have anything to do with this message. But just a real question. What do people think about this church? What do they think about you? Because if we're not reaching out and touching people, if we're just coming together, having a good time, wearing nice clothes and driving nice cars, people say, oh yeah, that's that church, that rich church that don't pay taxes. I'm being real now, being honest, that you need to ask some questions. What do people think about me as a Christian? What do they think about this church in the community? It doesn't have to be this church. It can be any church. What do they think about it? Because we should be impacting people's lives, coming out of this church, getting filled up with God, and going out and touching lives. And they'll say, man, I want to go to that church. It's not about this church, but it's about what's flowing out of here. See, clothes and cars mean Zippo to me. It doesn't matter what you come dressed, as long as you're modest. See, you can come in here in t-shirts and flip-flops, and it don't bother me. As long as you're modest. But if you're dressed in t-shirt and flip-flops and operating in the power of God, people don't care what you're wearing. It's what are you doing and helping them with what you got. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, rise up and walk. See, that's my heart. You hear in my heart. Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm not saying we shouldn't dress nice and drive nice cars, but it means nothing. It's a stench to God if we're not touching and affecting lives with the risen Christ. Hallelujah. I'm serious now. See, we're blessed to be a blessing. That's true. Blessing with what? First and foremost, it ought to be what's in us. The power of God, the life of God. And yes, God will pour into our lives so that we can help other people with money and clothes and all of those things. But if you're just throwing money and clothes at people and not touching them with the power of God, it's weak. Amen. So, let me get back on track here. So we're going to work the Word of God and speak to the mountain. So we said mountains are inevitable. Don't make friends with the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Don't make friends with it. Don't make friends with a problem. If that problem is against the promises of God, and you move it out of the way. Hallelujah. Don't let the mountain out-talk you. The mountain can't get any bigger. It is what it is. But you can get bigger in Christ, in what you say. So we said in the past lesson that the elements, there's a believing part of faith, and there's a speaking part. And we can see from Mark 11:23, which that revelation came out, speaking was mentioned three times, saith was mentioned three times, and believing once. And so we need to focus on not just the believing part, but the saying part. If the just are going to live by faith, then they're not just living by their believing. They're living by believing and saying. If I'm walking by faith, if I'm living by faith, then I'm walking, believing, and saying. And I'm saying, and I'm saying, and I'm saying, we're going to take this land. We're going to do this for God. We're going to have this for God. We're going to take it. At whose direction? God's direction. He's given the direction as he did with the children of Israel. He said, go in and take this land. It's a good land. And two came back with a good report. The rest of them caused the people to fear and not go in. So when God gives directions, as you've heard here even this morning, God gave us directions to speak to $80,000 a week. Call it in. That ought to be an example here being lived in front of you. What does the Bible say? Let's go over there just for a moment. Let's go to Romans chapter 4 just for a moment, and let's look at this. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. Talking about Abraham, the father of faith, the father of many nations. But let's look at Romans 4:17. And what does it say? I'm going to read it from the King James first. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who does what? Quickeneth the dead. That's why I like what the Holy Ghost was saying this morning. He quickeneth the dead. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I give life to dead things. And calleth those things that be not as though they were. What's my point? God said to call in $80,000 a week here. That's what he told us to do. You don't call in that which you already have, do you? The principle is, God says, call this in. If he tells you to call it in and you already got it coming in, it ain't God. He says, call those things that be not. So do we have, in the natural, $80,000 coming in consistently each week? No. Newsflash, no. But he said, call those things that be not. He said, call in that which be not as though it was. So he's given us a principle here. Speak to what? A mountain. Say to it. Say to it. Say to it. Say to it. Come in. If you believe and doubt not and believe the things that you say, you'll have it. And all the while, hey, we got expenses. We got lots of expenses. That's why he's telling us to call in $80,000 a week. Because the mandates, see, we thank God we have money to pay the bills. But God is calling us to speak, to call in an amount of money. And one of the things that he's saying is, he's got a mandate. Don't get distracted. See how easily we get distracted? It's all right. It'll be okay. Hello, I'm down here. It's all right. I tell you, if it was a pork chop over there, you'd be lost. If you smelt something over there, that'd be the end of this service. Be like, man, I am hungry. Or whatever it is. Whatever makes you salivate is all right. But listen to this. This is the Amplified. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. Listen. Who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things. Yeah. The non-existent things that he was foretold and promised as if they already existed. He spoke to this non-existent as if it already existed. You speak to that money. Now here, we're speaking to something that God has instructed us to do. Find out what God instructs you to do. It could be money, could be whatever it is. You begin to speak to it that's non-existent as if it already existed. See, some of us, I've said this before, I believe it with all my heart, every one of us in here could be a millionaire. Every single one of us. Some of us can't get by million. You can't see yourself that way, so you don't say it. You don't see it because it's like, forget it. I can't, there's no way I could be that. So you are, so that's what it is for you. You can't see it, so you'll never live in it. Say those things that are non-existent as if. And see, some are like, yeah, right. Okay, so then you don't have it. You don't live in it. You don't go there. And that doesn't have to be money. It could be anything. I'm just using that as an example. Something that's way out beyond what you could even think or imagine. Brother Hagin used to say this when he was alive. He'd say, I'd rather set my goals high and get the half of them than set them at nothing and get all of them. See, set your goals high. Maybe you get half. That's better than setting it to nothing and just sitting there and doing nothing. See, set them high. Set your goals, whatever it is, money, educate, whatever that is, spiritual goals, whatever that is, set them high and lock in on them. Now, God may give you a word of knowledge as you're walking that out. See, I say this, there's no reason this world, if you feed on this world system, it is trying to train people to fear. Fear everything. Every little thing. Fear that you're married and your spouse is cheating on you. Fear that your children are going to grow up and be locked up. Fear that you're not going to have enough money. Fear that the government's going to run out of money. Fear, 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 fear. You wake up and hear the news, it's fear this, fear that, fear this. And we keep feeding on that, and our mind, when there's a mountain, we go, oh man, what are we going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to look to God as my source and find out from Him what I should do. When there's lack, I'm going to look to Him. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say about this? He is our source. He's the one that provides. And I don't have to lack anything, not one thing in my life, if I'll first look to Him and follow His instructions. That's the key, isn't it now? Following His instructions. Now, I want you to just turn. We're going to spend a few moments here. I want you to turn over to Joshua for a moment. And as you're turning there, you know, I'll throw these thoughts out to you as you're turning over to Joshua chapter, where do I want to go? Joshua 14. Joshua chapter 14. And I want us to look at verse 6. We're going to read down a few verses. But you've heard us share this before. It's good to meditate upon it. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. The boundaries in our lives we set. We set the boundaries in our lives. What do I mean by that? When you say you can't afford something, you've just limited God moving in your life. And I'll use these scriptures because they're really powerful. We're still going to jump into Joshua, but it has applicability here. Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it," out of what? Out of your heart, "are the issues of life." And when you look up the word issues, it's a particular Greek or a Hebrew word. You don't need to know what it is. It just means the border or the extremity, the end of your life. It means the borders of your life. So out of your heart, you establish the extremities of your life. You do. And folks are blaming God. God don't want me to have this. He don't want me to have that. You take time and listen and be open. Sometimes we're saying stuff that limit what we have, what we do, where we go, what we can do. This is the complete Jewish Bible. It says, "Above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences." What's coming out of your heart? Yes, the devil will throw up obstacles in your life and can and does, but a lot of times we're giving him the license to do it with our words. We're saying things that give him the right to do that. I like this. This is the New Century Version. It says, "Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life." Your thoughts run your life. You keep thinking on something long enough, you're going to say it. You've always heard this. You think on something long enough, eventually you'll talk about it. You meditate on it. You talk about it. And the more you talk about it, the more you think about it, eventually you'll do it. You'll do something about the things you talk about. This is the Good News Translation. It says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So if you begin to say, "I can't do this, I can't have this," you won't. You won't, because you think that way. You talk that way. And you never see yourself doing something impossible. You never see yourself there. I'll share this. I don't talk about it much, but 30-plus years ago, I was home, I was praying, I was on my bed praying in the Holy Ghost, and I don't know why I was just was. You know, I didn't have an unction to, but I was laying on the bed and I had my hands on my spirit man here, praying in the Holy Ghost. And I was there for a good amount of time. And it got to the place I almost felt like I was leaving my body. And the Lord spoke. And I don't mean in a still small voice. I mean it was like the Father speaking. It was authoritative. It sounded like it filled my room. And this is what he said to me. He said, I'm going to use you like Clinton Utterbach. That's what he said. Now, for years, I said, how's that going to be? How could that be? It didn't make sense to me. I didn't ignore it. I didn't dismiss it. I began to say, like Mary, how could that be? Isn't that true? There's nothing wrong with that. And so, for 30 plus years, I'm not talking about a year, I never told Pastor Clinton. Because I figured, I just said, look, if this is God, I ain't making this come to pass. Forget that. If this is him, he'll sure enough, he big enough to do it. Because I said, okay, I can sing. I sang in a choir, but I don't sing like him. I don't play an instrument like him. And I don't hoot like him. I don't do nothing. I'm not the same color. A whole lot of things. And so, I just said, all right, God, if that's you, then so be it. And so for year after year after year, I just did what God told me to do here, and that was be faithful to him and Pastor Sarah. Whatever they wanted, I jumped and did it. Whatever it was. I don't care what it was. If they said, we're going over here, I had product ready. It was shipped. It was done. If he wanted to do productions, I worked alongside Pastor Clinton for years doing productions here and all those other kind of things. Learned a lot of things. Things were imparted into me by being around it. But I had to be faithful. I didn't slough off, didn't say, oh man, I can't come, I can't, I didn't. I was faithful. And I'm going to show you something by telling you this, because it's in the Word of God. And so, when he passed, things started moving in that direction. First, they said, we're going to make you a director here at the church on the board of directors. And I thought, okay. You know, okay. And then Pastor Sarah said, okay, we're going to ordain you as a minister. Okay. Still not connecting any of this because it wasn't in my thinking. It really wasn't. And so when Pastor Sarah came in, the Friday before the ordination on a Sunday, she said, God spoke to me and said, I'm to ordain you as pastors, not ministers, and I'm not to ask you your opinion about it. Because if they had my opinion, I'd have said, no, I'm just happy doing what I'm doing. Okay. And so, all I'm trying to say is, little by little, God is working some things out and positioning to do what? Bring to pass your will? No, because it's not my will. It's his will. And I don't care what he's said to you or spoken to you, don't dismiss it. If he said you're going to be such and such, because I'll tell you, now I'm beginning to say, all right, well, I guess he said it. It's going to be. It's going to be so. But now let's look at Joshua. Joshua is a good example of some things, couple of things, and we'll make some quick points here. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, it says, and of course you can read about Joshua, how when Moses died, who did God select? Who did he select? He selected Joshua. Did he select Caleb? No, he selected Joshua. And you can read through Joshua, all his accounts of what he did. Spoke to the, who did he speak? He spoke to the sun. made it to stand still, didn't he? So he began to do some things at whose direction? Because why? He was in charge. He was now appointed over all of them, wasn't he? But who was he? He was one of the ones that had a good report. He wasn't one with a trash mouth, did he? We can't do this, we can't have this, blah, 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 blah. He did what? He said what God said. When God said, you can go in and have this land. Who came back and said, yeah, let's go do it? Joshua and Caleb. So that ought to tell you something right there, that if you're faithful to God and what He's spoken, faithful to His Word, He'll be faithful to you, and He'll do what? He may decide to elevate you. Because He can do what? He can trust you. He can trust you. Trust you with His plans. Trust you with His Word. Is that not true? My God, true. Absolutely. So, verse 4-6, it says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of, big word, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee at Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old, see, so he was a young man. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in what? My heart. Where was it? He brought word to him that was in his heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. They had a bad report. But listen, this is the point about Caleb. I want you to watch this. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. There's one thing you're going to notice about Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord. He didn't deviate to the right or the left. God said, move. He said, yes, sir. He said, stop. I'm going to stop. He wholly followed the Lord. Now look, so continue, verse 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because why? Thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. He's giving it to him because he was faithful to God, faithful to follow him. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He's a little older now. 85. A little bit older. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war. Not just walking. War. Both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Give it to me. That's bold, isn't it? Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day now that the Anakims were there, and that cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to do what? Drive them out, as the Lord said, and Joshua, who? Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. So Joshua gave it to him. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance. I want you to listen to this, because in these verses, three times, look what it says. Because the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Three times. And those set of verses, he said, because he wholly followed the Lord God. Now that's the question we have to ask. Are we wholly following the Lord God? That's a good question that we examine ourselves. Are we following God the way he told me to? Not watered down, exactly what God told me to do. If he told you to quit and go move over here, did you do it? When he told you to do it, not looking and trying to figure it out, did you go? If he said quit this job and go over to this job, did you do it? Did you say what he said about that sickness in your body? Did he say that? If he said, lose weight, ooh. And you go, I'm just waiting on the Lord. For what? If he told you, are you wholly following that? And the reason I make light of that, because he may know something about you that you don't know. He may try to get you to the place where you don't have to walk through some of the things that you're walking through just by following. Doesn't have to be weight. It could be anything. He could prompt you, don't spend as much money. I heard Brother Hagin say this one time. He said the Lord prompted them, and in the natural, everything, the money was coming into their ministry, flowing in. This was at a period of time. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to take X amount of money per week and put it aside in the bank because hard times are coming. Now you could say, he obeyed. Hard times came, they were fine. And a lot of ministries were hurting. See, God will warn you. He'll say, put some money aside. Oh man, I'm believing God. I'm going to believe God. Yeah? And you're going to go hungry because he warned you. See? Now, when we miss it, I'm not saying he's going to let you go hungry, but he'll be merciful. But I tell you, some things we walk through, we don't have to if we just listen and obey. Wholly following the Lord God. So that's one thing. And of course, you can read this, you can write this down for your notes about Caleb and Joshua. You can go right over to Deuteronomy, verse chapter 1. You don't have to do it now, you can look it up in verse 36. It says, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. This is in Deuteronomy. His name is sprinkled about. He wholly followed the Lord God. Hallelujah. Now, here's another thing. Let's go over to Numbers for a second. I'm going to go quick here. Numbers chapter 14. Real quick, you know the story. Numbers 13 and 14. But I want you to look at verse 14. This talks about Caleb. Chapter 14, Numbers 14, and look at verse 24. 14 and verse 24. It says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. See, he had another spirit with him. And remember what it said? He said, what did it say? Let me back up here and just remind us again. I'm going to just reference this. You stay where you are. But in Joshua 14 and verse 7, it talked about, it says, 40 years old was I when, was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. And so over here, this is saying here in verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. He had another spirit in him. What kind of spirit is that? Spirit of faith. The God kind of faith. We read in 2 Corinthians, isn't it 4:13? I believed, therefore I speak. Hallelujah. So you can see here, let me ask another question. What you do and what you say, can it affect future generations? Absolutely. You can see here what he said and what he believed and how he followed is said here, he shall have this land and his seed shall possess it. So what we say over our children, what we say to things can affect and bless future generations. It's not just about you. You know, I know you think that is about me, but it's not about you, it's about future generations. It's about future generations. The things that we obey God in now, and the things that God is directing us, he's spoken to this ministry time and time again. He said, you're not staying in this building. Dr. Price, when he was here in 1990, said, you're not staying here. He said, I know you like it. You just moved in. It's pretty. You're not staying here. He said, it's too small for the people that I'm sending. He said, you're not going to stay here. And this was the shivering part of that thing, the thing that woke me up in it. He said, you can stay here, but I won't be in it. Ooh. I'm out of here when he says out. I'm going to call this place sold. Now, he has already shown us where we're going. He just wants us to say, yeah. Yeah, we're going. Yes, Lord, we're going. We call this place sold. Now, when you do that, he works out all the details. Your words begin to put in motion the will of God for our lives. See, if we say something else, like the children of Israel, they won't possess it. Isn't it true? You got to have that spirit that says, we're going to say what God says fully. We're going to follow him wholly. And we're going to have the God kind of faith. We believe what he says, and we speak it. And we're going to have it. Amen. Now, another thing. I'll just share this. This is a point, and then we'll close with this. Caleb never compromised. He never murmured against God or anyone else. He said, God said it, I believe it. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you one last thought as we close. And let's go to, well, we're in Numbers 13 and 14. Caleb submitted to godly leadership. You know, one of the things you can look at is that Caleb, who was in charge? Joshua was. He was in charge. But Caleb submitted to him. He didn't say, oh man, why is he in charge? He never murmured. He submitted to godly leadership. He submitted to the one who was in charge. And actually, when you read through, you can go over to Joshua and read about what he did, but when you get into Numbers, you see more about what Caleb said than Joshua. You see more of what Caleb decreed and said than Joshua. But he never takes, you know, like, look at me, look what I said. Look at, he's following what the Lord said. He's, what we say is going to affect future generations, which is what he did. And you can see that, what he said about Canaan land. And what did they do? They went in and took it. They took the land. So we have that spirit of faith, which believes and says, and we wholly follow God. We wholly say what He says, and we do what He says. And I'll tell you, we're going to eat the good of the land, and we're going to have the miracles and signs. See, that's the thing that's touching my heart, is that it's about the miracles, signs, and wonders that the world is looking for. They're tired of hearing about church. Church is so put out in the media with all the good, the bad, and the ugly that, first of all, a lot of it's not reported properly. And even if it is, people are jaded. And all they see is stuff. But what is the church? Are they going out and doing something and impacting? Are they bringing the signs and the wonders and the miracles out into this land? That's the heart of God. The heart of God is the people that He paid, that He died for. And so we're going to take this land and we're going to do great things for God, but we have to have another spirit in us, a spirit that believes God and speaks what He says. Not just corporately, but in your own life. We got to say what He says. And we're going to live an abundant life, a powerful life, an anointed life. All of us will. Every single one of us. Every one of us. The power of God will operate in and through us. Hallelujah. Glory to God.